Good evening. I'm standing here in the balcony of this magnificent, packed-out church, right in the heart of London, for this much-anticipated adaptation of Dickens' magical allegory. There's a great deal of excitement here in the audience. Below me, the BBC Symphony Orchestra fills the transit, awaiting the arrival of Sir Simon Rattle on leave from the Berlin Philharmonic to conduct this special performance. And what a lineup of British acting talent are about to take to the stage this Christmas Eve. Sir Ian McKellen as Scrooge, Sir Patrick Stewart as Marley, David Tennant as Cratchit, Sir Michael Gambon, Christmas Present, Emma Watson as Belle. And here they come now to huge applause. Sir Simon Rattle closely followed by the cast. Sally Hawkins there, who will be playing Christmas Past. A lot of smiles, a lot of excitement. And so as the cast take their places, we await the utterance of that most famous of opening lines, Marley was dead. A Christmas carol has of course become synonymous with the very concept of Christmas, not only as a well-loved seasonal tale, but carrying with it an enduring and judicious message for all of us as we reflect on the past year and prepare for the next. And I think we're now ready to begin.
Marley was dead, to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The Reg's burial went by the...
They would rather die, wait, and decree...
Another aunt has replaced me, Ebenezer.
I do apologise for the interruption to the current broadcast. We will be returning to A Christmas Carol in just one moment.
And that's your Marley. It's all dripping down here now, John.
Look, use this.
I'm afraid we seem to have temporarily lost connection with our current broadcast. I assure you we're doing everything we can here to rectify the situation. In the meantime, however, we're going to play you a little bit of music. Why won't this play?
I need something more absorbent than your polyester scarf for this, John.
Where's Richard?
He went for cocktail glasses. Oh, he's coming.
Please stay tuned while we just overcome this little problem.
Okay, gang. Let's get this party started. It's not every Christmas your wife announces she's leaving you.
Look, Richard.
Oh, my God.
There was a small spillage.
What the hell have you done?
Richard.
It wasn't my fault. I was just putting the jug on the shelf.
But the control panel?
Look, I don't work here. I don't know the rules.
Of gravity? They have shelves in Spain, don't they? And jugs?
Not of eggnog. Of sangria, maybe. But...
We will be returning to St. Martin in the
Fields
the just as soon as we can.
Viscosity for once.
Richard! Richard, we're live.
What?
We've what? Lost A Christmas Carol. We've got no audio playback options.
Are we live now?
It is what I'm saying now on the radio?
Yes, why do you think I've been... You're listening to Radio 4.
John, play something.
I can't.
What are you talking... Look, click on that.
What, last night's shipping forecast?
There will be pandemonium at sea.
John, just play anything.
Nothing. We'll play, Richard. Please bear with us, everyone, while we just try to settle these minor technical problems.
Minor? I don't work in radio, but it looks quite major
yes,
to me.
Yes, thank you, Harry. John, just do some filling.
Coming up on Radio 4 later this evening. Where's the schedule gone?
Oh, I think I used it to mop up.
Right.
Coming up later, Carols by Candlelight, Carol Bordeman, Carol Smiley and Carol Thatcher discuss their favourite carols.
Do they? Is that what it was?
Probably. Something like that, no?
Look, John, is nothing responding?
I think we need the technical person.
On Christmas Eve?
Yeah, there's no one here. It's us and security.
Okay? Have you seriously got nowhere without putting any audio?
Hang on. I've got an idea. Carlos Santana.
Shall we plug that into the desk?
There's no more phone. It's not a Christmas carol.
No, of course we can't.
Can't we?
Can we?
Well, I doubt it. Is it got USB?
It's got a torch.
Are we definitely still on air?
It's got as well a radio. Listen, listen.
Yo, yo, what's up, dogs? It's Christmas on the dub. Dub, bip, bip.
Hang on. Hello?
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 I am talking into the radio for microphone. And my voice is coming out of my phone, simultaneously. Affirmative. We are broadcasting to the nation.
OK, I've lost all the screens now, Richard.
Hang on, look, John. I'm going to the corridor to make some phone calls.
OK,
Oh, this isn't good, is it?
No, it's terribly, terribly bad.
I should never have come in.
No, OK, it was an accident.
That's true. And you and Richard did invite me.
It's not our fault.
You shouldn't really have been drinking on the job.
Well, you're the one that spilt it.
Yes. I am not denying responsibility, but I am like a child in your care.
No, you're not.
You're like a friend who came in and spilt 2 litres of eggnog over thousands of pounds worth of BBC studio equipment.
The price of greatness is responsibility. What? Winston Churchill.
What is that?
My Christmas present to myself.
Look, the little book of wisdom and inspiration.
Try it. You turn to a page at random and it tells you what you most need to hear.
Yeah, well, what I most need to hear right now is a Christmas carol, OK?
Hang on, Bog, I'm just coming to the studio now. Anything, John?
No.
Damn. No, we've got nothing still, Bob. OK. Yeah, hanging on.
Do we do now?
OK, I've got to announce what's happening.
If you've just joined us here on Radio 4, I'm afraid we're still experiencing some difficulties.
Yep, Bob, I'm at the tool cupboard.
In the meantime...
A mop and bucket.
In the meantime...
I don't need a mop and
give
bucket.
Us a call.
What?
Yeah, you know, like TalkSport.
No, Bob, we've tried that.
Talk Christmas. Give us a call. What's the number here?
I've no idea, Bob. Look,
what's the phone number?
OK, it's...
Now.
The number to call is 0207-946-0000.
What are you doing in Cornwall, Bob?
That number again.
Bob.
0207 946 00.
What are you doing, John?
We're discussing Christmas here on Radio 4.
Give us a call. Tell us about your experiences of terrible Christmases.
Are we still live?
Yes, we're...
The intercom is flashing, Richard.
No, wait, look, that can't happen. We have to stop broadcasting.
The intercom.
Hello?
Sorry to disturb you, Mr. Katz. It's Verhone from the front desk. I've got your wife in reception.
Already?
Shall I show her up?
Yeah, no, I'll come down.
Richard, come back here. You're not going anywhere.
Send her up.
Very good, Mr. Katz.
Why is Claire here?
For the car.
So she really is taking the kids to her mum's.
Richard, come... Try rebeating again.
We're discussing A Christmas Carol here on Radio 4. I understand the story has quite a special place in your heart, Javier.
That was actually quite personal information, John.
But there have, of course, been many dramatisations over the years.
The Muppets.
The Muppets did one with Michael Caine.
You okay, Richard?
No.
Which was surprisingly moving, given that they're puppets, or Muppets. Is a Muppet an official type of puppet? I'm not sure.
That's it. I am fired. And my wife is leaving me. Well, happy 2011, everyone.
Do you want a drink? There is another jug of eggnog.
Will you snap out of it?
The first audio production of A Christmas Carol, I believe, was in 1938, starring Orson Welles as both narrator and Scrooge, which must have been a bit odd. Were you around in 1938? Did you hear it? Was it odd? Was it great?
Was Orson awesome?
Right. Or give us a call about anything else. What does A Christmas Carol mean to you? As Jonathan Dimbleby suggested in his introduction back then, the story is arguably the fictional world's most resounding and enduring moral pointer. Have you ever had a moment of epiphany like Scrooge? A moment you'd care to share with us? Or maybe you haven't. If you haven't, maybe you will. There's always hope. Do you agree with me? Give us a call on 0207-946-0000.
Claire's at the door, Richard.
Javier, no. Wait.
Hi, Claire.
Daddy!
Kids! Claire?
We're not staying, girls. Can I have the keys, Richard?
Claire, can we talk? Not now, but can you just wait?
No, we're going to my parents.
Is that the room where you work?
It's quite messy.
0207-946-0000.
Quite nice today, Claire.
Oh, just an old shirt, really.
I like the way you have tied the bottom like a belt. Very ingenious and effective.
Oh, thank you. You're looking good yourself.
These trousers are quite tight.
Yes.
Are you perhaps listening online in another country?
Keys, Richard. Come on, kids.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes. Dad's working. Come on.
If so, what's the weather like where you are?
Claire, we can work this out.
Why don't you just work yourself out, Richard? Martha, Jessie, let's go.
I'll call you later, kids.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye.
Richard, I'm so sorry.
0207-946-0000, if you want to make that call.
Right. We're shutting down transmission.
I'll get it.
Javier, no. Javier.
Kita. Hello? Radio 4, how can we help you?
Hello?
Oh, you sound like you might be a younger listener. What is your name?
Oliver.
And how old are you, Oliver?
10.
10? Still believe in Santa Claus?
Who?
Santa Claus?
Yeah, Claus.
What?
Just give me the phone. Just give me the phone. Hello, Oliver. Is there anyone you'd like to say Merry Christmas to?
No, just my family, but they're all downstairs fighting. Are you going to get A Christmas Carol back on?
Well, we're certainly doing the best we can, Oliver.
I tried to get them to listen to the story, but then it stopped and they just started shouting again. I just thought if they could listen to the message in the story, it might make them stop.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Oliver.
Oliver, you keep listening. We are going to get a Christmas carol back home for you. For your family, for certain, okay?
Okay.
Javier?
That's a Radio 4 promise.
Javier?
Santa Claus is on his way. Keep listening.
What do you think you're doing?
What do you mean, what do I think I'm doing? Did you hear that? We have to get a Christmas carol back on. We can let that child down and all the others like him.
We don't have a choice. Look, I have made a decision. We're shutting down. We're getting off the air now.
No.
What do you mean, no? Move away from the plug, Javier.
If you shut down, everyone will stop listening. You don't understand.
No, you don't understand.
No, you don't understand.
Understand what?
What it's like to be an orphan.
He had his parents downstairs.
Exactly. Fighting. And him abandoned. What a child doesn't receive in life, he can seldom later give. P.D. James. There we go. How about...
What is that book?
The Little Book of Wisdom and Inspiration. It tells you what you must need to hear. Pick a page.
No, move away from the plug.
Look, I am talking about what Jonathan Dibbly-Billy said.
Who?
Dibbly-Billy.
Dimbleby.
Diddly-I. It doesn't matter what his stupid name is. You are really prepared to abort the message of Christmas?
We don't have an alternative.
Bingo!
You fixed it?
No, I've just found an external DAT machine underneath the desk with what looks like every... ever recorded episode of Moneybox Live. I think we can plug it straight into the output.
Praise be, do it. How long will that take?
Not long. Phil, for a moment.
Hola?
Not you. Hello, this is Radio 4. How can we help you?
This is Chris Evans.
Chris Evans?
Yes.
As in...
Chris Evans?
Chris Evans, yes. Now, listen to me. Do you realise how many people's Christmases you're about to ruin?
Exactly.
I'll tell you, a lot. Me and Bruce Forsyth, the starters...
Bruce Forsyth?
He's just texted me, but more importantly, it's the rest of the nation. It's that little girl who phoned up.
It was a boy?
Whatever. And it's all the other families, all those thousands of people who've tuned in tonight to hear the true message of Christmas. Don't jump ship. Moneybox Live... Give me a break. You've got to find a way of getting Dickens over the airways. Have I made myself clear?
We won't let you down, Mr. Evans.
Who?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
That's what I said.
I'm putting my faith in you. Goodbye.
Did that just happen?
Happened.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh. And how exactly are we not going to let Chris Evans down then, Javier? Hmm?
I don't know, but don't you see? This isn't just a simple matter of not putting on a Christmas carol.
Yes, it is. Are we ready?
Moneybox Live, all set to go.
No, you are failing everyone.
Well, little change there then. So, this is for everyone I've ever failed. Claire, my children, Chris Evans, Bruce Forsyth. In fact, all the listening public. How many that is?
A few million.
Hopefully not that many. I guess this is goodbye.
Hello?
Oh, no, you don't, Richard Katz.
Madeley?
Let's just... back up there, shall we?
It's the Richard and Judy guy.
Pull yourself together, Katz. You've got a job to do.
Richard, I...
Okay, first things first. We need some love in the room. John?
Hello?
Tell the listeners it's all going to be cool.
It's all going to be cool.
Good. Have you?
Hello?
Give us some wisdom from the Book of Inspiration.
If today was perfect, there would be no need for tomorrow.
Never a truer word. Who said that?
Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
Right. Let's move on. Richard, listen to me. What's the BBC expecting of you right now?
To put out a Christmas carol.
And you can't because?
We've drenched the studio equipment in eggnog.
And your wife's leaving you because?
I have the dynamism of corduroy.
But what we need here is a man of action.
That's not me.
Is what a man of corduroy might say. But in these troubled times, we have to find our voices. Voices that drown out the sirens of fear the modern world rears inside us. 4 years ago, I met a man. A strong man. A man of action.
The interview with Jeff Capes.
No. I'm talking about you. You were a maverick producer back then, but a brilliant one. People said juggling wouldn't work on the radio, but you made it work. You had vision.
He's right, Richard. That juggling feature nearly won a Sony Award.
Where's that vision now? Where's the man I first met?
I guess I've just lost my mojo.
And maybe your marriage.
You have a choice, my friend. Number one, you walk. From everything. You give up. Number two, you turn things around.
But how?
Do you know what the best thing you ever said to me was?
That I loved you.
No. But you did say that, which was really nice. Very nice moment. No, you said to me, Madeley, radio is an unrivaled force of creation. It's inside the heads of the listener that the real magic takes place.
Did I?
That could go on my book.
Listen. Dickens doesn't need St. Martin in the Fields and big posh orchestras to make his words soar into people's hearts. He just needs voices, real voices of commitment and truth. and honesty.
No, look, listen.
Think it through. Where are you right now?
A BBC continuity studio.
And what do you have at your disposal?
Every single episode of Moneybox Live.
No! Think! What else?
Phone lines.
Exactly. And what does the nation want?
A Christmas carol.
So what would the old Richard Katz, the Maverick, do?
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, you do. Think.
Maybe this will help. Remember Top Gun? Tom Cruise pulled himself out of that terrible grimpenmire of self-doubt. And so can you.
Wait a minute. Turn that rubbish off, Javier. Are you saying that we somehow get hold of a replacement cast, get them to phone their lines in live, recreate all the necessary atmospheres here in the studio and basically broadcast our own production of the story?
No, you're saying that.
But that's completely mad.
Merry Christmas, Richard.
Blimey, that was a bit cryptic, wasn't it?
Better drowned than duffers. If not duffers, won't drown.
What? Swallows and Amazons?
What?
It is the rather cunning message the children get from their father to let them know if they are allowed to go to the island in the boat.
Oh, yeah, it means it's better to be drowned than be a duffer. And if you're not a duffer, you won't drown anyway.
Richard from Richard and Judy is like our dad. He doesn't want to spell it out for us, but he is saying, do it.
Put on our own version of A Christmas Carol.
Oh, man alive.
Well, can we do it, Richard?
We can damn well try.
We can do more than that. We can try and do it damn well. Like you just said. I ditto you, basically, Richard.
John?
I think we can try.
That's a double ditto.
Then buckle up, boys. We are sailing to that island.
Hello, this is the BBC.
It certainly is. Now, stop what you're doing. Walk away from the equipment.
Who do you think you are? The controller of Radio 4?
Yes, this is Gwyneth Williams. Now put on Cats.
The musical.
Richard Katz.
Oh, hi, Gwyneth. How's, Honolulu?
Richard, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Now, I realise you're up against it, and you're a great producer, but do not, I repeat, do not even attempt what you are about to attempt. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Is Moneybox Live ready to go?
Yes, if we, you know, if we decide to.
There's no place for any other decisions. Press play. That's a direct order.
Could you hold on there, please, Guinness? Okay, Richard. I want you to picture little Oliver sat in his bedroom with the radio gripped between his bare little orphan knees. And I want you to picture the face of your wife who's driving to her parents because she's lost faith in you. And the faces of your children who have a corduroy dad. How big are your cojones, Richard? Like a bull or like a little fashion accessory for a mouse?
You'll never work at the BBC again, Richard.
Exactly. You are going to fire him over this anyway.
I didn't say that.
A bull or a mouse?
Goodbye, Gwyneth.
Yes!
Security are already on their way. Now, if you don't...
Okay, lock the door. We'll probably need a barricade.
If you are going to walk on thin ice, you may as well dance.
Exactly. Who said that?
Bambi.
Javi, grab the end of this desk. It's Fahana.
We are not coming out.
Listen to me, Fahana.
No, John, it's a soundproof studio. Press the intercom.
There's nothing you can do, Fahana, so you might as well go back to your desk.
I have strict instructions to escort you out of there.
How are you going to do that? You haven't even got a gun. Oh, she's got a flipping gun. Is this bullet glass proof? I mean, is this...
Oh, okay, honey, I'll deal with this. Fahana, listen to me. Put the gun down. I mean, what are you even doing with a gun?
It's actually just a cap gun.
That is still illegal in this country, Fahana. Now, have you been listening to the radio?
Yes.
So, you want to ruin Christmas for everyone, do you?
Look, I am just doing my job.
I understand. But I know that you, more than most, knows what it means to stand up to authority. To fight the good fight. Am I right?
Yes.
So, what are you going to do?
Escort you out of there.
Come on, Fahana. You don't have to do this. Think of the nation. This is Christmas Eve. We need a new zeitgeist that's going to take action. A collective voice that will rise up against those who have told us they know best. Come on, comrade. Are you with us or against us?
Look, I am not against you.
Well, while you think about that, we've got Christmas to save. Richard.
Okay, first, we need a script.
Okay.
Have you got access to the original?
No.
Can't we hack into some department?
Do you know how to hack?
I could have a go.
Would you get far?
No.
Right, well, there must be an adaptation online somewhere. Javier, get to work on your phone.
No problem.
What's next?
Actors, well, we start with the lead, build around that.
Who do you know? Anyone we can call?
Start at the top. Jason.
Donovan.
Sir David.
Sir David Donovan.
Well, I've never heard of him.
Sir David Jason, you idiots.
Have you got his number?
We'll wait for him to call.
Are you mad?
Maybe. But it's Christmas Eve. If miracles are ever going to happen, it's now. John, read out the number.
Sir David, if you're listening, please give us a call now on 0207 946 0000.
What's that?
Tension music. I uploaded the soundtracks app onto my phone last week.
Okay, that actually might come in useful. Actors. Who else can we think of?
Antonio Banderas.
Okay, look, this is really mad. We can't just name actors at random and hope they happen to call in. We've got to open out the casting net a bit.
No, he's right. We just need people to call in.
They say Britain's Got Talent. Let's see if it's true.
Yeah, Javier, it's not X Factor. We're still looking for well-loved voices of stage and screen.
But if the only talent you have is teaching your dog to do the plumbing or something, keep it to yourself.
What's Fahana up to?
She's still doing a lot of pacing out there.
I found an adaptation.
Brilliant. Give out the website address. Anyone calling in can go online and then we're all virtually linked up.
The address is placeareas.com/@christmascarol.
And the number for the phones again, John?
0207-946-0000.
So we just wait. I quite often listen to this when I'm waiting. It helps ease the time by. I'm sorry about the eggnog, Richard.
No, forget it.
No, if you hadn't spilled that eggnog, Javier, we wouldn't be here in this moment. And if we weren't here in this moment...
We'd be listening to a Christmas carol.
Hang on. If we can only output live, what about the rest of everything that's supposed to be on Radio 4 later on?
We'll just have to cross that bridge when we get to it. Here we go. Sir Anthony Hopkins, Dame Judi Dench, Martine McCutcheon. Let's think positive.
Hello?
It is me.
Fahana?
I have decided I want to help you.
Really? Look, is this some ridiculous ruse to get us to open the door?
No, I promise. I want to support you. And I have some acting experience.
Well, God, that's more than the rest of us, Richard.
Open the door. We need all the help we can get.
Go on.
I have to phone my sister in Iran. This will set the country alight.
Maybe you shouldn't then.
Oh, and I'm afraid the police are on their way.
What?
Instructions from the top. But don't worry, the front entrance is secure. I've disengaged the lift and shut off the emergency stairs.
That will buy us some time.
Right. Richard, what if, and I mean only if, nobody out there calls? We need an option two.
Okay, you play Scrooge.
Me?
Worst case scenario. I mean, you or Javier.
Well, or you.
I'm happy to give my Scrooge.
Okay, Javier Scrooge.
Javier?
Right, Marley?
Hang on. Say Bar Humbug, Javier.
Bar Humbug.
Is that serious Radio 4 drama output?
Bar Humbug, no?
You do it, Richard.
I really can't act.
Sister, it's me.
Listen,
tune in to Radio 4 online
bar
now.
Humbug.
The disc is starting on the radio. Humbug. Tell everyone. I'll see you later.
Bar Humbug.
Richard, do you trust me?
Yes.
Then play Scrooge. You can do it.
Really? I'll be fine.
Fahana, I shouldn't touch that.
Just inspecting the damage. Oh, interesting.
What?
Just help me pull this unit out, will you?
Fahana, look, this is state
what
of the art.
What is she doing?
I have no idea. Listen, Javier, don't you see? Richard's got to play Scrooge for Claire.
Claire? What has she got to do with it? She's on her way to her parents.
Yeah, exactly. And Richard doesn't want...
to play Scrooge.
No, he doesn't want her to go. He wants to show her he can...
play Scrooge.
Change.
Oh. So maybe if... very good.
Okay.
Richard?
Yeah?
You're playing Scrooge. No debate.
All right.
Okay, and I'll narrate.
Listen, Fahana's only just told me she used to build pirate sound studios in Iran.
You're joking.
I might be able to isolate the transmission files and detour the mainframe.
What the hell does that mean?
It means I can't repair the damage, but I think I can find a way of being able to broadcast the rest of this evening's Radio 4 scheduled output.
What? Really?
Fahana, if you can do that, I'm going to... I don't know what I'll do. Right, we're going to have to get started and hope the spirit of Christmas shines in us. John, make that announcement.
Fahana will attempt to get Radio 4 back on schedule by...
No, John.
What?
Christmas carol.
Well, wait a minute. We don't even know who's playing the other parts.
We just have to pray those calls come in, no?
Yeah, and if they don't?
Well, we'll share the roles between ourselves.
I'll do the cratchit and sound effects.
I'll play the women. It's fine. I'll work around my lines.
Okay, John, you're narrating. Beyond that, basically, if I point at you, you're on, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone got the script up on their phone?
Yes.
Good luck, everyone.
And now here on Radio 4, a little later than scheduled, we present Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Whale song?
On my phone is listed as haunting atmosphere.
Marley was dead, to begin with, dead as a doornail. Scrooge and he had been partners, you see. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted old sinner, Scrooge. The cold within him froze his features. No warmth could warm him. But what did he care?
He must have had a terrible childhood.
Javier, just...
I'm just saying, because Dickens kind of skirts over it.
All right, it's fine.
What we teach our children becomes, you know...
Can we just act, please, and get rid of the flipping whales?
OK.
It was Christmas Eve. Old Scrooge sat busy in his cheerless, draughty counting house.
Yeah, we're not on a boat. Look, this phone is not exactly spoiling me for choice here. How about that?
We'll go with it.
The cold and the fog of the late afternoon crept into every chink and keyhole.
That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, OK, you don't need to do every sound effect, Javier.
Oh, nobody specified.
Bob Cratchit, his clerk, sat in a dismal little cell beyond, his only warmth offered by the glow of a single coal.
God rest you, Jerry, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. God rest you...
Silence that ruckus, Cratchit. Has Higgins paid the 17 shillings he owes me?
His wife has been ill, Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, send round the bailiffs.
That's the closest to a door I could get. Enter, Fred.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Ah, handbag. What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Why is Fred Welsh?
It's not. It's actually a Scottish Highland accent.
Well, less is more, John.
Distinguishing him from the narrator. Look, just do your lines.
Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding. Much good it has ever done you.
Materially, perhaps not, Uncle. But Christmas provides an opportunity for men and women to open up their shut-up hearts. And so I believe it has done me good and will continue to do me good. That's honestly how they speak up there.
Enter Charity Man.
Vahana?
Can I do my Iraqi accent? It's hilarious.
No.
Oh, please.
No, just get on with it.
Good day, gentlemen. Can I oblige upon your generosity to make some provision for the poor and destitute at this seasonal time? How about you, Mr. Scrooge?
Are there no prisons? Are the workhouses not in full vigour?
They are, sir, but many can't go there, and many would rather die.
Then they had better do so, and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon.
Here, sir. A meagre donation is all I can afford, I'm afraid.
That's enough.
It's for the orphans.
Yeah, well, Cratchit's supposed to be poor.
Not as poor as them.
Cratchit! Stop filling that money box and get back to work.
Cratchit?
I said Cratchit.
It appears to be closing time, Mr. Scrooge.
Indeed. There sound the bells of Westminster, Uncle.
Hang on. There is a bell on John's bike.
I'll see you at first light tomorrow morning, Cratchit.
But tomorrow is Christmas Day, sir.
All right, quit your snivelling. Take the day off if you must. But be here all the earlier the next morning.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Scrooge. I will. Good night.
Get out of my way, everyone!
Can you just plug in that auxiliary cable, John?
This one?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oops! Just a small electrical fire. Nothing to worry about.
I've got it covered. There we go. Put out quite a lot of foam, these things, don't they? Carry on, John.
I can't see a thing.
Okay, I'll read it. Meanwhile, the fog and darkness thickened, and Scrooge reached his front door. And now let any man explain to me how it happened that Scrooge saw in his door knocker, not a knocker, but Marley's face. Marley, his deceased business partner.
Deceased.
As Scrooge gasped at this unbelievable sight, the big knockers miraculously returned to its knocker form.
Is this seriously the best adaptation we could find?
Unless you would like one in Japanese.
No, okay, leave it. I'm fine now.
To say that Scrooge was not startled would be untrue. He hurried inside, bolted the door, lit a candle and headed straight up to his bedchamber. There he sat in his dressing gown, slippers and nightcap before a low fire and pondered with a sense of growing unease. Then, out of the shadows, a disused bell on the wall suddenly started to ring.
And then all the bells throughout the house started to ding and dong.
Quick, pass me that bin. Ding, ding, dong, dong, ding, ding, ring. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-ding, ka-dong.
It's humbug. I won't believe it.
Just use your imagination.
But why don't you just use these sound effect CDs? Look, there's a whole cupboard of them and a CD player.
What? How could I have missed that?
We need Marley.
I'll do it.
It's got to be scary.
I can be scary.
You can be Spanish. Sort through the CDs.
Quiet. With any luck, this is our Marley, right on cue.
Hello?
Oh, my lord. So this isn't a joke, is it?
Who's this?
It's actually Dara Brin. I'm sorry, I just had to call in. Only I was just saying to my wife there, this has got to be some sort of pre-recorded spoof thing. And she was saying, I don't think it is. I've got the website with the script up online here. And I was saying, come on now, how gullible can you be? And she said, well, phone the number. So I did, and, well, that's a big 1-0 to her right there. Which is, I was actually answering the phone and everything.
Dara, will you do Marley?
Marley? Me? Do you mean now?
Yes.
You're joking. I'm three sheets to the wind.
It doesn't matter. Please.
We'll do anything in return.
Hang on, you're a producer, aren't you?
I was.
Only I've got this idea for a great new panel show.
Oh, another panel show?
Come on. That gobshite David Mitchell's got about a million on the go.
What is it called?
Well, I haven't really worked out all the details.
I'd tune into that.
Dara, if by any faint chance I'm still working at the BBC after all this, I'll see what I can do.
OK, grand. Let's do it.
It's the top of page 7.
I can't believe I'm going to act. This is insane.
OK, Marley's entrance. Richard?
Chains. Dragging chains. They're coming closer.
Javier, is that my bike chain?
Might be. Someone hit play on that CD player.
Ah, they're coming up the stairs. They're outside my door. Ah! How now? What do you want with me?
Go, Dara.
Much. I want much from you, Ebenezer Scrooge. This is really weird.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
John, who is that?
Who were you, then?
Dara O'Brien.
Huh?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
The comedian.
Stone the crows. I can see straight through you.
The worst guy.
You don't believe in me.
Irish, you idiot.
I don't believe in ghosts.
Don't call me an idiot.
There's more of gravy than grave about you, whatever you are.
You all right, Dara?
Me? Absolutely, I'm fine. That was a death cry. It says death cry here in the page.
Sorry, carry on.
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do. Oh, dreadful apparition. Why do you trouble me?
Ignore me. Just getting the back off this hard drive.
It is required of every spirit in life to walk with appreciation for fellow kinds. If that spirit neglects to do so in life, it is condemned to do so after death, dragging behind the chains forged by such pitiless action. This is really Catholic stuff.
Old Jacob Marley, speak some comfort to me.
I am here tonight to warn you, Ebenezer, that you have a chance of escaping my same fate. You will be haunted by three spirits. Expect the first when the bell tolls one.
Hang on, Christmas pass. I've got an idea. Sorry, carry on, Dara.
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour, the third upon the next. Look to see me no more, exit Marley. How was that?
Fantastic.
Really scary.
I could get into this acting dark, you know. Well, good luck, lads. I'll keep listening, but, you know, Sherry awaits.
The police are outside the front. Oh. I've just had a text from my friend in the Iranian embassy.
Who are you phoning, John?
Jane Horrocks. I play squash with her husband. Huh? Trust me.
Hello?
Nick? Hi, it's John Nicholson.
Hi, John, yeah. Merry Christmas, how's it going? Aren't you working tonight?
I am, yeah. Look, is Jane with you?
Yeah, we're at my Christmas work party.
Right, look, I couldn't have a quick word with her, could I?
What now? I guess. Jane? Jane? Yeah, you know John Nicholson?
The one who's crap at squash?
The one who fills in at Radio 4, yeah. He's on the phone. Want a quick word with you?
What about?
I have no idea.
Hello?
Jane? Hi. I'm calling from the Radio 4 Continuity Studio. Look, we're supposed to be broadcasting A Christmas Carol, but we've lost it.
Well, that's karma. I was pencil for that, and then they dumped me.
Look, we're putting out our own version of it, now, live.
Now?
Yes. In fact, we're live at this moment.
You mean... Flipping next?
And we've just reached the bit where the ghost of Christmas past enters. Jane, will you play the part if we text through your lines?
Are you pulling my leg?
No, I'm really not. Please.
Oh, what the heck? This party's boring the arse off me anyway. And it's Christmas Eve. Go on.
Wow! You're a total star.
Hang on. Let me just find somewhere a bit quieter. Excuse me, love. Have you finished in there? Oh, great. OK, I've locked myself in the loo. I can't believe I'm doing this. My agent will go bananas.
We've texted the lines through.
Yeah, I've got them.
Great.
Strike the clock, Javier. There. Humbug. The hour itself and nothing else. What is this? A hand? Drawing my bed curtains apart? A floating ancient child with 20 legs. Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
Ready, Jane?
I am the ghost of Christmas past. Come, let's fly.
But I am a mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand.
As the words were spoken, they flew out through the bedroom wall and out into the night.
Spirit, what is that strange light?
It is the past, Ebenezer.
They landed into a clear, cold winter day upon a snowy, open country road. Scrooge was conscious of a thousand odours floating in the air, each one connected with a thousand thoughts, hopes, joys and cares long, long forgotten.
Good heavens! I was bred in this place. I was a boy here.
Your lip is trembling. And what is that upon your cheek?
Nothing.
Are you all right, Rita?
Yes.
You recollect the way?
I do now. I could walk it blindfold.
Strange to have discarded the memories for so many years.
There are my friends. Albert. Hey, Albert. Edgar. Bruce.
These are but shadows of things that have been. They have no consciousness of us.
My old boarding school. It seems deserted.
Not quite. A solitary child is left there still. Come, see.
Good heavens. It's...
It is indeed you.
I look so alone.
Javier, are you all right?
That's me. This is my childhood.
By your own volition, Ebenezer.
The same, but in Spain.
I wish... Oh, but it's too late now.
What is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. There was a boy singing outside my house last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Take my hand, Ebenezer. I have more to show you. You surely know this building ahead.
Know it? This is where I spent some of the happiest days of my life, under the apprenticeship of Mr. Fezziwig. Can we go in?
Of course.
There he is. Bless his heart, it's Fezziwig alive again.
Yo-ho, my boys. The hour has struck 7. It is Christmas Eve, and it is party time. Hill you home.
Hello? Hey, hi. Yeah, hold on one sec.
We were in a state of sheer delight. Fezziwig had the power to render us either happy or unhappy.
What are you thinking?
I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now.
Come hither, Miss Fezziwig, my wife. You shall be the first tap to dance with me and the last down.
Wait, Mr. Fezziwig, my husband... Young Ebenezer, come here. I want to introduce you to someone.
Belle Marsden, we need Belle.
Charlotte Green on line 1.
Really?
Hi, I'm all ready if you want me.
Blimey, of course, wonderful. Mr. Scrooge, Belle Marsden. Belle Marsden, this is one of our finest young apprentices, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge.
How do you do, Mr. Scrooge?
Santa Maria, it's really her.
Who's playing young Scrooge?
Me. Belle, can I see how gorgeous you are? You are sounding?
No, Javier, it should be Richard. Would you care to dance, Ms. Marsden?
I would indeed, young Mr. Scrooge.
That night was one of the happiest in my life.
We can't linger here, Ebenezer. My time draws to a close.
Actually, Jane, before you go, can I just say what a huge fan of yours I am?
I really love the news.
Life is Sweet. Absolutely my favourite film of all time.
Yeah, hello. If you don't mind, we need to...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Thanks. Carry on.
She was so beautiful that night.
Yet you lost her, Ebenezer.
Please, don't torture me with this.
The relationship lasted barely a year.
Side by side in the snowy moonlight the following Christmas sat the young Scrooge and the iridescent Belle, eyes brimming with tears.
Another idol, a golden one, has replaced me, Ebenezer. I have watched your nobler aspirations fall off one by one in your voracious hunger for wealth. And now I feel that I should release you.
Have I ever sought release?
Not in words, perhaps, but would you choose to seek me out and try to win me now?
It doesn't have to be this way.
I would gladly think otherwise if I could. May you be happy in the life you have chosen. Goodbye, Ebenezer.
No!
Like fiction emulating reality, except she's not driving off to her parents in the family hatchback.
Wait, I have to say something to my wife. Claire, if you are listening out there, I know I've really screwed it up, but... we can make this work. I can change. I really can. I resolve to be the person I once was when we met. Please don't leave me. Don't go to your parents with the children for Christmas.
I'm not quite sure where we are. Do I have any more lines?
No, you don't, Charlotte. That was fantastic. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Oh, and Richard.
Yes?
Stick in there, eh? You sound like a lovely guy. She'll come round. We just want to feel loved, us girls.
I do love her.
I know, but you have to show her that.
If it's not too late.
It won't be.
I hope not.
I'll keep listening. Have to go. Bye.
Spirit, remove me from this place. I cannot bear it. Haunt me no longer.
My time with you has come to an end. Bear once more a touch of my hand.
And before he knew it, Scrooge was back in his own bedroom, where he sank into a heavy sleep. Jane, that was brilliant. Thank you so much.
No problem. There's someone really banging on the loo door now, so I better go.
Sure. Look, I can't thank you enough.
Anytime. Bye.
Hello?
Can I speak to my dad?
Jessie, are you okay? Where are you?
I'm in the shop at Heston Services.
Where's Mum?
She's just got out of the car to fill up with petrol. She was listening, Dad. Can you make it so we're all together for Christmas?
I don't know. I need to... I am going to try and make things right, Jessie, my love.
I have to go, Dad. Mum's coming. Bye.
Jessie? Oh, maybe I should call her. I'll call Claire. I'll tell her...
No, Richard, not now. Just play the story.
I've just looked on the monitor down the hall. The police have called in the fire brigade.
What?
There is someone called Edward Kelsey on line 2.
Isn't that... Put him through. Hello?
I can only give you 10 minutes or so, though. I'm bidding for an electric toboggan on eBay.
It's Joe Grundy.
But if you need somebody to play Christmas Present, I've got the script up in front of me.
Doesn't sound anything like his character.
Well, no, but I can if you like.
Well, whatever worked for you, Edward, will be fantastic.
You want me to start now?
After the clock chime will be great.
Ebenezer Scrooge!
Am I still asleep? Surely I haven't slept for...
I am waiting.
Where are you?
Here. Behind the door. I am the ghost of Christmas Present. Don't be shy. Come on in and know me better.
The room Scrooge entered was filled with the most bountiful of Christmas offerings.
Well, bet you never seen the like of me before. Touch my robe.
Scrooge did so. The room disappeared, and in the same instant, they were stood on a crowded street amongst Christmas well-wishers.
Merry Christmas, everybody! You wonderful people, so full of cheery. Anybody come into the bull for a quick one?
The bull? What's he talking about?
He's gone off piste.
He certainly sounds like he's had a few.
He thinks he's in Ambridge. Get him back on track, Richard.
Let us go to another place, Spirit.
£80 for a toboggan? The guy's dreaming. Who is this idiot?
Edward.
Sorry. Where are we?
We're middle of page 22. To the home of...
Right. Let's go to the home of your clerk, Bob Cratchit.
Good old Bob. Yes. Let's see him.
Mother, what are you doing?
Hang on.
Just reformatting some sound files. Where on earth has your father and Tiny Tim got to?
Look, they're coming now. See Father in his threadbare clothes darned up to look seasonal, and Tiny Tim upon his shoulder. Alas, for Tiny Tim bears a little crutch and has his limbs supported by an arm frame.
He does indeed, Mabel.
Father!
Merry Christmas, my dears.
Let me help you with your coat, Tim.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
He said he hoped that people who saw him might be reminded of who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, Tim, come on. Sit yourselves down. Let's eat this feast.
It's hardly a feast. It's so meagre.
A toast to our family. And to my employer, Mr. Scrooge.
Me?
The founder of the feast.
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. So I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's. Oh, I wonder who that can be.
Hello, the Cratchits.
Hello, this is Oliver's mum from earlier.
The one who was fighting, huh? What have you got to say for yourself, madam?
I just wanted to say, thank you. We're all sat here listening with Oliver now, and I just wondered whether he might be able to do the Tiny Tim line.
You bet your life he can. A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us. Oliver.
Oh, God bless us everyone!
Hurrah!
Spirit. Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat and a crutch without an owner. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, kind spirit, say he will be spared.
If he be like to die, he had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Isn't that right, Ebenezer?
No, spirit... I have much I need to say to everyone. I have been such an idiot. Claire, if you can find it in your heart to give me another chance to show you I can change. I mean, please turn off the M4 now. Maybe don't come back on the M4. It'll be very... Take the M25. Go. No, just, please, come back to London.
Very subtle, Richard.
My life upon this globe is very brief. It ends upon the stroke of midnight. Hark, the time is drawing near, and I have one more thing to show you. Actually, I can't. That's the grandchildren turning up now, I'm afraid.
Right. Okay, Edward, not to worry. We were almost there anyway. Thank you very much for your contribution.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas to you all.
And to you. Gracias.
At that moment, the midnight bell struck and Christmas present disappeared.
Then lifting his eyes, Scrooge beheld coming towards him like a mist along the ground, a solemn phantom, draped and hooded with darkness where there would have been a face.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come?
Hang on. If I can just get this coil of wire attached to this bin...
Javier, what are you doing?
For the voice, I am making an echo chamber.
Yet the spirit spoke not. It just beckoned and nodded.
Well, that is no good for radio, is it?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
You are about to show me the shadows of the things that are yet to come.
Yes.
I fear you more than any other spectre I have seen. But as I know your purpose is to do me good, lead on. Wait. I recognize those men from my business world. What are they saying?
All I know is he's finally dead.
When did he cop it?
Last night.
What's the miser done with his money?
Miser? Who knows? No one to leave it to.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral. Then no one will go.
Yes, indeed.
Of what poor wretch are they talking of, Spirit? These are fearful scenes.
You can say that again.
Let me see some tenderness connected with this world. That's Cratchit's home. Why is it so quiet?
Mother, you're crying again.
No, I'm fine now. I won't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home.
I think he's walked a little slower than he used to these few last evenings, Mother.
I have known him walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. But your father loved him so that it was no trouble, no trouble at all.
Hello, my loves.
You took the wild flowers I collected, Bob?
Yes, my dear. I placed them upon his grave. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is.
Oh, Bob.
And I know that when we recollect how patient and how mild he was, we shall not quarrel easily amongst ourselves and forget poor tiny Tim in doing it.
No, never, Father.
No!
The Phantom had one final place to lead Ebenezer.
The city cemetery. I fear I can predict the name upon the grave to which you point. But before I draw near, answer me one question, Spectre. Are these the shadows of the things that will be? Or are they the shadows of the things that may be only?
That's for you to decide, Ebenezer. Now, wipe away the snow.
Here lies Ebenezer. No, Spirit, I am not the man I was. Please assure me that I may yet change these shadows by an altered life.
Hello?
Oh, hello. It's Peter Purvis here. Calling from a long way. Insurance.
Sorry, you're cutting out, and this really isn't a good time.
Hello? Can you hear me better now?
Yes, that's better.
It's Peter Purvis. I'm calling from a small school in Honduras.
An orphanage?
No. No, it's a small school run by a local charity. I'm here as a volunteer.
But the children are forced to be there.
No, look, it would really make their day to be on British radio. We were thinking this might help. Look, stand by, everyone. Are you ready? Okay, go now.
Yes, carry on, Richard. Oh, tell me I may sponge away the writing on this stone. I will honour Christmas in my heart. And try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past and the present and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach.
Ah! Oh, I'm home. I'm back in my room, my bed, my bedposts, my windows. Golden sunlight. Oh, glorious, glorious morning. Ha ha, you! Down there, boy! Boy, what day is it?
Why, it's Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day! Oh!
Hello?
And for a man who had been out of practice for so many years, he let out a splendid laugh, a most illustrious laugh.
Ha! Oh, praise be! This is the first day of my life. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather, as happy as an angel, as merry as a schoolboy.
Javier, the pealing bells.
I've got it covered. That was Reverend Jones at St. Anne's down the street. He's got a full team of bell ringers rehearsing for midnight mass.
But we're in a totally soundproof studio.
With a fire door. Go, Reverend Jones.
Go, Peter Purvis.
Wait a minute. Richard, I think Claire and the kids have just pulled up.
What?
And there is lots of police at the broadcasting house, at the front, and a huge crowd of people. Claire, kids, this way, at the fire escape. Hurry!
They're coming back for me.
And a few moments later, Scrooge appeared from his front door, skipping along the streets, wishing a Merry Christmas to a succession of startled onlookers.
Dad!
You came back. Claire.
I don't know what to say, Richard. I just felt...
Just say, you'll let me show you I can change.
Richard, we need to carry on.
You'd better finish the story first.
Quick, kids, get in before the police start heading up here.
And presently, Scrooge found himself at Bob Cratchit's door.
Come out here at once, Cratchit.
Why, Mr. Scrooge?
What time do you call this?
But, Mr. Scrooge, you gave me the day off.
Well, I was wrong to do that. I should have given you the week off and tripled your wages. A Merry Christmas, Cratchit.
A Merry Christmas to everyone.
Dad, you did it.
We all did it, Martha.
Does this mean we're all going home?
Hello?
Farhana, this is President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The nation of Iran celebrates you tonight.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Got to go now. My bath is ready.
Richard, I've got the hard drive back up and running. It's all systems go. Radio 4 is back on schedule.
I am going to kiss you, Fahana.
Just before you do, Richard, I've got Gwyneth Williams on the line.
Katz? Nicholson?
Yes?
Yes?
You're fired.
I knew it.
You didn't let me finish. You're fired up. You walk out of BBC Broadcasting House this evening with your heads held high.
What about the police?
Called off. Come to my office first thing Tuesday morning. I need your minds on the future.
Me as well?
You betcha. See you then.
So, what happens now?
We've got a minute till the news.
Richard?
Yeah?
Come home after work tonight.
And you'll be there?
Of course we will.
Come here. And you kids. Oh, I love you, Claire. I love you all so much. And John, Javier, Fahana. What can I say?
Dad, you're crying.
I know.
This calls for a celebration. Richard, pass that jug.
What jug?
You're listening to Radio 4.
Don't worry, I can just about reach it.
And we're just about ready for the news.
I just stretch a little further.
What?
Shall we take some calls?
Well, we do apologise for that temporary fault. Do rest assured that BBC Radio 4 is restored and back on schedule, and that all jugs of eggnog have been safely stowed away. Don't like it anyway. You've been listening to Marley Was Dead by John Nicholson and Richard Katz. It starred John Nicholson, Richard Katz and Javier Marsan. Fahana was played by Serene Saba, Claire by Sophie Russell, Oliver, Joshua Swinney, and Martha and Jesse Katz as themselves. Additional roles were played by Edward Kelsey, Jane Horrocks, Star O'Brien, Charlotte Green, Richard Madeley, Peter Purvis, Gwyneth Williams, Chris Evans and Jonathan Dimbleby. Marley Was Dead was directed by Sasha Yevtushenko. The producer was Stephen Canny.